Father, we come before you, and Lord, we're grateful. We are thankful. And Father, what a great thing. We've got all of these challenges that, Lord, without you, we'd be just like the world. We would be panicking. We'll look around at the world's crazy. We got North Korea doing things that, quite frankly, not even North Koreans can figure out what they're doing. Japan's all upset, and they should be. South Korea, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, Russia, England, France, Germany. Lord, everybody's been out of shape. The world seems to be sitting on a powder keg, about ready to blow up. Everybody's talking about wars and rumors of wars. And Lord, all of this nonsense that's going on, and yet it's awesome as a believer this morning to know that you sit on the throne, that none of this stuff rocks your world. That you, in fact, are the orchestrator and you are the presider over even the evil, nasty intents of men and of nations. So, Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you would humbly, mercifully, and graciously look upon us, not only as a church, but as families. Not only as families, but as a nation. And, Lord, that you would magnify your presence. Lord, as these dark clouds seem to be gathering and looming ever closer, we pray, Father, that you would encourage us in this avenue of prayer and communing with you. And so, Father, this morning we pray for your absolute and wonderful divine blessing upon our time together in your word as we worship you in learning more and understanding more of your nature. And we thank you, Lord, for this, and we ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Grab your Bibles to the chapter you already know, Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47, and our title this morning in our series of the Why Should I series. This morning, why should I pray? We're going to be spending the next 3 weeks looking at why should you and I be praying. And you might be thinking, Jack, I thought you said this was going to be a 12-week series. I did at the start, you're right. But seeing how the rain has delayed the project and we're not going to be moving in as soon as we had thought, maybe, just maybe, God wants us to spend 3 weeks or more on prayer. He certainly wanted us to spend more time on the topic of worship, didn't he? And thank God, by the grace of God, I was able to get through and out of the topic on tithe last week. Did anybody miss last week? Anybody raise your hand? You won't be, don't worry, you won't lose any frequent flyer points if you, hey, last week the topic was tithing, and I spent half the service apologizing to people visiting that we've never talked about that topic before, and we're going through this series, and thank God, I figure that we won't have to bring it up again. I figure the Lord will be back before it ever comes back in any kind of a series or any kind of a book, or I'll be dead of old age. Either way, I'm glad that topic's gone. Even though it fit perfectly in the very act of worship that we were studying previous to. And so if you were not here, get the tape. Because, by the way, I thank God that I had a young lady come up to me after service last week. And she was just crying. And I thought somebody had offended her. She looked very serious. And she was crying. And you could tell, you know, a very attractive young girl. And she had all of her makeup on just right. And it was all just coming, flowing down her face. And I thought, this is going to be a hot moment here in between services. What's going to go on? So I'm kind of looking for backup. I don't know. And she came up and her lips started quivering. And she said, you know what? I've been set free today. I've been coming here for a couple of months. She says, I grew up in a church where it was all this about tithing and giving and mandatory and you better. And if you want to go to heaven, you better cough this up. And one, you know, situation after another and the hammering of it. And she said, today I was completely set free. And she was crying for joy. And that was great. And then the second service, someone came out of the service and said, you know what? The church I just came from, they demanded of us not only the percentages, they took it out of our check, our checking account automatically, and they required of us that we sign 1% of the value of our homes over to the ownership of the church. I couldn't believe what I was hearing in light of last week's teaching. I couldn't believe it. And it was horrific. And in the lives of these two people, when we mention the scripture that God loves a joyful giver, that you're to give out of according to your heart with the Lord, it's between you and God. Oh man, the weight was coming off. And you know what? It was a neat comment. One person said, hey, this is pretty cool. Because in light of today's service teaching, which was last week, and the previous weeks on worship, now I can do both with absolute energy and excitement because I've been liberated. That's a great thing. By God's grace, we'll be liberated again by the topic that we're in, this topic of prayer. Why should I pray? Now, class, listen up. This message, again, will go over the course of 3 weeks. You're going to think we're not making any headway this morning whatsoever. We will, I promise. The introduction's about 48 minutes long. We'll get to the first point, and then it'll be time for you to go home. I kind of feel like a college professor letting you know what's coming in advance. Why are we not going to rush this? Why should I pray? Because, church, let's be honest. There's two areas that you and I struggle under, often either a self-imposed pressure called guilt, or due to the manipulation of others upon our lives, in two key areas, and that is prayer and Bible reading. Every year, Christians around the world buy devotional books and certain, through the Bible in a year commitments, which are great, by the way. They're wonderful. And I encourage them. However, I refuse, it only took me 25 years as a Christian to figure it out, I refuse to become enslaved or in bondage to the calendar, though, regarding that. What do I mean? Well, you know when you're reading your Bible and you miss, you're sick, or you got too busy too quick, you miss your daily allocated Bible reading for that day, right? So, I got to double up tomorrow. You know what happens? You never catch up. And then guilt comes in. Oh, I'm a loser. And your friend will show up and say, oh, wasn't that a great chapter today? No, you have no idea what the chapter was because you didn't make it there. You're a week behind. And then the guilt builds and builds. I won't do that. I'll read through the Bible. But I tell you, if I skip a day, I believe that God is involved in me skipping that day. I don't know why. I can't explain it. I just know that God is not into guilt in this area of Bible reading. I'm committed to Bible reading. But if I'm sick or if I can't make it that day, I refuse to let the enemy take what God has intended for good and bring it about for bad in my life. Second thing is prayer. Which one of you, and if you raise your hand, I'll have you. No, I'm kidding. Which one of you thinks for a moment that you pray enough? You pray too much. Gosh, Pastor, I'm so up on all my prayers, I'm going to take next week off. None of us, and you know this, none of us pray enough. We can't pray enough. That's why the Bible encourages us, and we'll hear it over and over again in this series, that we are to have an attitude. We are to pray without ceasing. That is having a mind of constant communion with God. It doesn't mean that you take the moment to go into that prayer closet or attend a prayer meeting. Though, that's good. It is having an attitude of prayer. And we see a church in its inception that's a praying church. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word, Peter's teaching, his preaching, on the southern steps there of the temple, they were baptized. And about that day, 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then awe, reverence, fear, worship came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and they had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and in the breaking of bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And I might add, he did that because it was a church that was alert and worthy of him to add people to. Did you hear that? It was a church that God wanted people to be added to. Christian, listen up. the church that you attend, if it's this church, I assume that most of you, it is this church, is it a church that God wants to send people to, or He has believers, or new believers, I should say, coming to birth in Christ in such a church? The church that you and I are involved in, is it a work of God that He wants to add to the church daily such as should be saved? And maybe you're visiting, and maybe you're traveling from out of state or wherever you're from. You need to ask yourself that question. The New Testament church that I should be involved in my community, is it a church that is growing? Is it a church that's preaching and teaching the Word of God? Is it a church that does things to encourage fellowship and the breaking of bread and the conversing one with another? Is that church trying to go even beyond itself to get you together? Now, you may take that lightly. I know this church doesn't, but you may take it lightly that, oh, you know, my church is always trying to get people together. You should thank God for that intent of that church to get you together. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, that as the days continue to get evil, we better be careful that we do not forsake the gathering together as a church, as some are doing. They forget. They give up. They stop attending a church. Oh, my church has got a picnic this week. Oh, my church has got a baptism this week. Oh, my church has got a concert this week. You know why churches go through that effort to put that together? You think they do that to abuse themselves? They don't do that to abuse themselves. They do that to get God's people together. And one of those things is in the area of prayer. Charles Spurgeon said that the lungs of the church is its prayer meeting. Now listen, for those of you who attend this church, I'm going to challenge you in the next several weeks. You may not want to come for the next few weeks. If you're a spiritual wimp, you don't want to come. How's that? Now all the guys said, well, that's it, I'm coming then. If we're going to battle, if we're going to be real, then we need to be a church of prayer. We need to attend prayer meetings. We need to, if there's one missing, we need to get one going. And we cannot pray enough. Why? We are so frail. We're just little people until, as an old hymn says, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saints upon their knees. Prayer, invisible, a dangerous weapon. To whom? To the one who will be overwhelmingly impressed when it's released upon him. When we pray, church, do we realize, do we really believe? I have serious doubts that we do, by and large. I'm not saying this to be dramatic nor mean, but I seriously doubt that you and I believe often enough that when we pray, there are drastic effects in the spiritual realm. I thank God that He's called me into ministry to where we are constantly involved in prayer, because you know what? We constantly get to see effects. I'm grateful for that. Maybe you are on the outskirts of prayer. You're a Christian. You're going to heaven. Thank God for that. But you don't find prayer a heated, passionate aspect of your Christian life. You pray when you need to. Oh yeah, you're faithful to thank God for the food that you got on your plate. But outside of that, when was the last time you really felt that you did warfare and damage to the enemy in prayer? I believe now if this church would pray, things would be rocked in the spiritual realm. Overwhelming power, so that the combatant that's against us would be overly impressed. Prayer is invisible. And yet the moment you and I pray, there's a connection that we'll talk about next week in heaven, and God moves. God over and over again in the Bible says, I'll move and I'll act and I'll do when you pray. Church, are we praying? I'm not putting the weight upon any of our shoulders. Are we praying enough? We all admit we need to pray more. But you know what? We need a concerted effort of prayer to be rejuvenated in our lives. And listen, I almost feel like I say this every week, but do we have problems in our lives? Yeah, then pray. Do we have pressures in our lives? Pray. You might say, well, Jack, I have been praying. Keep praying. Didn't Jesus say that? He said, keep praying, knock, keep knocking. He said, ask, keep asking, seek, keep seeking. Daniel prayed, and that was a, boy, that was a tremendous thing, and we'll get to this one in the future. But Daniel was praying. He was fasting. That is, he was drinking water and only eating vegetables. That's what God told him to do, so he did it. And he was praying. And we come to that portion of the Bible, and we say, boy, he's been praying a long time. Does anybody know how long Daniel prayed? Thank you. Very good, Matthew. 21 days Daniel prayed. 21 days on his face praying before God. Now, did he get up and do his business? Of course he did. Did he take care of the things that he had to do? Of course he did. But he went right back to prayer. In 21 days, no answer. The heavens might have felt like brass. Have you ever been like that? Has it ever felt like that? When you're praying and it's like your prayer doesn't even get out of the roof of your house? Daniel stayed at it. And then, in one of his moments of prayer, on the 21st day of his time of prayer, the atmosphere opened up before him and an angel arrived. And I don't mean to make light of it, but if you read carefully, it's quite interesting. The angel shows up and basically goes, "Whoo! Whew, sorry. What? When you began to pray, I was dispatched to give you an answer from God about your prayer request. I was detained for 21 days in the atmosphere above your head. The prince of Persia, the enemy, sent to fight with me, and we were in the atmosphere of warring back and forth, and there's a huge fight going on in the spiritual realm. I had an answer 21 days ago to give you from God," the angel said. "But this prince of Persia..." By the way, isn't that interesting? Persia? Yeah, that's Iraq today. "The demonic power that resided over Iraq in that time..." Maybe it's the same one. "The angel said, 'He's mighty,' and I couldn't get away from him until..." Who came to the rescue? Every time you see Michael, the archangel, show up, that dude is must be extremely buffed. He is one bad angel. Every time you see Michael, the archangel, he's involved in a fist fight in heaven, in the atmosphere. He's fighting demons. He's fighting Satan himself. By the way, don't ever think that Satan and Jesus are arch rivals, okay? Class, listen, get that in your head now. Satan and Jesus are not arch rivals. And contrary to Mormonism, they're not brothers either. Not brothers. Satan and Jesus are not brothers. And Satan is no match for Jesus. In fact, if you read Colossians chapter 1, among many other scriptures, the Bible makes it clear that Jesus Christ is the creator of angels. Did you know that? That's why in 1 Timothy 3:16, that when Mary was giving birth to Jesus in the flesh into this world, it says there that angels gawked in awe at the revelation of God manifested in flesh. Christ coming into the world. No, if Satan's got an opponent, if he's got an equal, it's Michael. Michael and Lucifer, or Michael and Satan, appear to have the same amount of warfare powers. And by the way, Michael has been known from time to time to take care of matters very, very efficiently. And what an amazing, amazing angel he is. He shows up, he knocks out, just whoo, whoo, boom. "All right, take that message to Daniel now. I'll take care of it from here." Oh, man. Wouldn't you love to have seen that? Spielberg, if you're listening. Spielberg, do one on that, will you? Do a movie on that one. You want to learn more about that? Get Frank Peretti's first book, Piercing the Darkness. That'll keep you up all night. So exciting. Oh, man. The angel arrives and says, "Daniel, I got the answer." And the answer is given. What if Daniel would have stopped praying on the 19th day? What if Daniel would have stopped praying on the 20th day? What if Daniel, after three tries, "I give up"? No, the angel came and spoke regarding this tremendous thing. We need to keep praying. We need to stay at it. We are not powerless. The evils that are coming upon the world, the evils that are supposedly coming upon America, California, the threat of terror and attack. Listen, the greatest thing you can do to be at ease and calm and have the wisdom of God at times like this is to pray. because God will tell you exactly what to do. Stay at it, church. I tell you what, we're going to stay at it. If there's only three or two or one of us left, we're going to stay at it. God says, I'm only looking for one person to pray. And there's more than one person here. We need to pray. We need to wake up and be alert. All of this talk that we're about to unleash on the Iraqi military power reminds me of prayer, invisible things with great power, able to confuse the enemy and cause them to not be able to communicate one to another. Prayer. No wonder why it says in Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in the breaking of bread. Look at it carefully. And in what? Prayers. Plural. S. Not prayer. Not prayer. Prayers. And as this study progresses, we will learn what prayers mean. There are various types of prayer. There's intercessory type prayer. Among many types of prayer, there's prayer of adoration, there's prayer of worship, there's prayer of warfare. There's the type of prayer that we go before God and we're interceding hard because someone that we love or know is sick or injured. Prayer has many types of manifestations for battle. When the church found itself in the early church in trouble, what did it do? It prayed. Remember? It prayed. It didn't know much, huh? You and I know so much more than what the early church did. It wasn't until much later, till 90 AD, mid-90 AD, that the book of Revelation was given to John. It wasn't until later that the scriptures were available to all Old and New Testament alike. Look what you and I have now. We not only have the Bible, we've got all kinds of lexicons and the meaning of the, not leprechauns, lexicons, the meaning of the Greek word, the meaning of the Hebrew word, and what was this in Aramaic, and when Jesus said this, what was the culture like? We're so rich in our knowledge, aren't we, class, huh? Then you know what? We need to pray more because we know more. Our faith should be huge. Our faith should dwarf the faith of the early church, don't you think? It should. We have so much more knowledge. We've got, and not only that, we've got such a scientific world that is out there that many people early on thought would show the Bible to be bankrupt and void of knowledge. And yet every bit of scientific achievement has shown all along that the Bible is exactly right on in scientific descriptions and in scientific understanding. The Bible. It's amazing to me. When the church was in trouble, it prayed. When the church found itself in need, it went to prayer. Maybe you're in trouble. Maybe you're in need. We're to pray. And the church is to gather and pray. We're to pray for each other. It is a horrible day when we as Christians have so much pride that we cannot turn to the person next to us and say, hi, are you a brother? Are you a brother here? I mean, I know you're at Calvary. I know you stand next to me every week. Are you a Christian? Yes, I am. Can you remember something without giving you the details? Will you pray for fill in the blank? Will you pray I just lost my job of 28 years? Will you pray? Will you pray, please? You don't even need to know the name of my son or my daughter, but will you pray? And that Christian ought to turn to that one who's making the request and say, I guarantee you I will pray. Church, if we're not doing that, we're pathetic. We are, as Keith Green said, we are asleep in the light. We're sleeping. We need to pray. Why? Because we're all in trouble. We all have needs. And sometimes I'm wondering if my trouble and my needs isn't exactly what the doctor ordered. To get me to pray and sometimes to break down that wall of pride that I have too much pride to turn to you and say, will you please pray for this situation? What would keep us from that request but pride? Doesn't the Bible say we have not because we ask not. So let us ask over and over again. When the church was young and found itself persecuted, what did it do? It prayed. When the church was young and found itself making a difference in the world, That's my way of saying success. It became successful, not in a bad way, in a good way. It was making a difference in the world. It prayed more. Often churches get successful. Oh, look, we've got a big building. We've got a lot of people. We've got a lot of money. We've got a lot of presence in the community. Or we've got a lot of missionaries. Or you just fill in the blank. Be careful. You're now, right then, beginning to lose your power. Boast not in thyself. Seekest thou great things, says the scripture, seek them not. Let God be glorified, and he will always be glorified if we're praying and seeking him. But whenever the early church was in need, they prayed. A great example of this, of the early church in need, and a great example of its invisible power of prayer, is Acts chapter 12. Turn there if you would, I'll read it. Acts chapter 12. People, this is both powerful. Power? Yeah. The power is going to be unleashed. But it's a problem too. Kind of like that bomb. The E-bomb. Well, it's an overwhelming power. It's just proven to be unpredictable when we test it. Boy, I wonder what they mean by that. Okay, press the button. Let's test it. Forget you. You press the button. I thank God prayer's not like that. If anything, prayer can be such a specific, tactical weapon that can go right into the camp of the enemy. And we can say, Lord, my child's been sick. You know that, God. Before you ever created the heavens and the earth, you knew that my child would be battling this illness. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name. That, first of all, if this illness and sickness is from you, glorify your name in it, because I don't understand it. But if it's not from you, then, oh God, and listen, I'm letting you into my prayer life. Oh God, if it is not from you, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will so take the enemy and you will bring this, what he has planned, against his own head. That you will take the teeth out of the lion who's going about roaring and seeking whom he may devour. And that you'll take his claws and rip them out of his paws. That he would have no power over my child. Lord, if it's from you, grant us the grace. And if it's from the enemy, slay him in Jesus' name. I tell you, we're at war. And some of you wives, you need to fight for your husbands, not with your words. It's not going to work. I've been telling him every day for a month. You can tell him every day for the rest of his life. It won't work. I've been putting tracks in his lunch. That's not going to work. Get on your knees. If you have a godly friend who can keep their lips quiet and not gossip, get her with you and pray. Husband, you got a whacked out wife, loony, weirding out. I don't want you anymore. I don't want these kids. I want the world. I've been watching reality TV. And that's what I want. That's why America's watching the reality TV. Their life is boring. You know what? If anybody had any guts in the media world, they would get real Christians and put them on reality TV. You want reality TV? Okay, here it is. Reality TV. What are we going to be doing tonight? Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills is going to go down with Pastor Tarr. We're going to go down to Hollywood and Vine, and we're going to share with the hookers and prostitutes, the drug addicts, and the bums. You want reality TV? Pray with somebody who smells so bad you can't even get near them. And they said, I'm sick of being drunk and I'm sick of hiring hookers. I don't want to live like this anymore. Join up with our ministry on Hollywood and Vine in Normandy. You want reality TV? It's not this stupid stuff you're watching. Nobody on TV would watch. Nobody in this church would watch that stuff. I know you would not. But there are people who are watching that stuff. And they're like, whoa, look. What's he eating? What is that? I don't know. I guess I'm just getting old, but it seems a little strange for me for somebody to eat a pig uterus. I mean, why would you eat a pig uterus for $50,000? Wow. You'd do that for $50,000? Would you go to a prayer meeting for a pig uterus? I'll go to a prayer meeting for a... Oh, no, you mentioned money and it's, oh, where do I sign up? Wow. Reality TV, forget that. Christianity should be absolutely so radical and so powerful. And I don't know about you, but if you're not living an extreme life, then what are you doing? Yeah, you're watching reality TV because your life's boring. Okay, watch this. Reality, Acts chapter 12. I told you, Acts chapter 12 about a half hour ago. Acts chapter 12. Now at that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church, and then they killed James. That's the apostle James, the brother of John, with the sword. Cut his head off. And because Herod saw that it pleased all the Jews, that's the religious Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread, so when they had apprehended him, they put Peter in prison and delivered him to the four squads of the soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. And Peter was therefore kept in prison. But what does it say, class? Constant prayer was offered up to God for him by the church. That's us today. And when Herod was about to bring him out, I love that. All right, go get him. That night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers. And the guards before the door were keeping in the prison. Verse 7, now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him. And a light shone in the prison and struck Peter. Get this, Peter's so sleeping on the eve of his execution. This is Peter panic. This is Peter put your foot in your mouth before you talk kind of Peter. This is Peter who, not knowing what to say, said something. This is Peter, always getting interrupted by the Holy Spirit. This is Peter when it's told, you're going to die tomorrow. Oh, all right. He goes to sleep and the angel has to strike him. Look, it says, and the angel struck Peter on the side and raised him up. Get up. Hey, wake up. Arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie in your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real. Did you hear that? He's dreaming. This is a dream. He didn't know this was real, but thought that he was seeing a vision. And when they were past the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that led out into the city, which opened to them of its own accord. You know what that means? That's so cool. The angel's walking with Peter, and the gate just opens up all by itself. The gate opened up of its own accord, and they went out and went down one street. Listen to the detail. Went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. Verse 11, and when Peter had come to himself, that is, he realized this was not a dream. He says, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from the expectations of the Jewish people. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. This is John Mark, the author of Mark's gospel, where many were gathered together. What were they doing, everybody? Praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda, I bet she's bummed that her name is in there, because watch what happens. A girl by the name of Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she didn't open the gate. Isn't that cute? Let me in. Psst, let me in. She goes to the door. Who is it? It's Peter. It is Peter. And she runs. She runs away from the gate. And so she tells them, she announces to them, Peter is standing before the gate. But they said to her, verse 15, you're nuts. You're beside yourself. That means you're crazy. Girl, you're crazy. Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said to her, it must be his angel. the angel that's been sent to watch over him. Now, Peter continued knocking. Just leave it right there for a minute. There were a lot of people praying, and they were continuing at prayer. That's power. How do we know? Because the angel comes from heaven and gets him out. And he's free. So Peter's knocking at the door. Somebody in the prayer meeting, can you imagine? Lord, we just ask you right now, God, we're begging of you, please, please hear our prayer. Hey, Rhoda, can you go see who's at the door? Lord, we just answer, please. Hey, you guys, it's Peter. Will you just sit down? Be quiet, you weirdo lady. Sit down. God, deliver Peter. Just set him free. It's him. It's him. Lady, you're beside yourself. Must be his angel. It's anybody but him. We're praying for him. Isn't that funny? Oh, God, please do this in my life. He probably won't do it at all. And then God does it. I can't be real. Isn't that funny? The very thing they're asking for, God does, and they don't believe it. Don't tell me it was their faith that set him free. And so they opened the door to him. And what does it say? They were what? Astonished. E-bomb. Or maybe we should call this prayer bomb. P-bomb. How'd that happen? Peter, what are you doing here? An angel woke me up. He even had to slap me to wake me up. I got up. He led me out. The gate was so cool, you guys. As we were walking, the big gate opened up all by itself. You should have been there. It was great. He even told me to put my shoes on. It was very, very amazing. Can you imagine? They were like, oh, wow. God answers prayer? What's wrong with us? Yes, God answers prayer. We need to pray, people. This church needs to pray more and more and more. We need to gather for prayer. I wrote some things down. There's a lot of older men who tell me, I don't sleep much at night, so I pray. Okay? All right, then you know what we need to do? This is not a joke. Write me, email me, call the church. But listen, if that's your case, if that's the thing, because maybe you're elderly, because I understand that it's hard to sleep. As older you get, it's hard to sleep at night. If that's true, at my life, I'll be up forever then pretty soon. I'm telling you, if that's the case, then rather than toss and turn all night, let's create an all-night prayer watch. Men, we can do it in shifts. Take 2 hours. We can have enough men in this church. Let's start. I tell you, maybe it'd be good if we have it organized before we move on over to the building that we've got an all-night prayer watch. People call in on a hotline. You know what? My child's throwing up right now. It's 2 a.m. They can't stop it. We're taking them to the hospital. We don't know. Will you pray? We'll pray right now. Let's do it. You're already up all night. Let's do it. So, well, you know, I don't have that problem. Well, you know what? How about young men? You're strong. How about picking 2 hours? Well, I don't get off work till midnight. Great. Let's do it from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. You get off at midnight, swing by, pray for 2 hours. Let's get two or more gathered together in a room with a hotline. When people are in trouble, they can pray. And we'll have a prayer list, and men can pray. They can pray over that list. Let's do it. Men of prayer. Mop. Men of prayer. What about women? Hey, ladies, let's pray. Women of prayer, let's do it. Teens, they're up all night anyway. They go to bed at 2, they wake up at 6. Teens, tap. Teens at prayer. Why not? No, I said at. Gotcha. Teens at prayer or teens of prayer, that would be top. Top or tap? Tap or top? It works either way because teens are praying. Why not? If we decide to pray, our world will change. We can ask the God of heaven to touch the heart of the king. All these people whimpering and whining about, we don't want to go to war. Of course not. Nobody wants to go to war. It's funny how they're not taking a poll from the northern Iraqis. They're saying, please go to war, please go to war, please liberate us, get us out of here. Well, you know what? If somebody were to go out on Hollywood and say, okay, you don't want any war? We don't want any war. All right, then let's pray. Well, we're not going to do that. You guys are crazy. Isn't that something? This world, isn't this world sick? It is so whacked out. You want to change something? Pray. Oh, no, we're going to pick it. Well, go ahead and pick it. The only thing you can do is lose weight. Walking back and forth, that's a good thing, but you're not going to achieve anything. Pray. Church, we need to pray. But herein lies the problem. Regarding prayer, we so often misunderstand it because we know that we're to pray. And yet when God answers, we either don't believe that he's answering, because listen, we either do not believe he's answering, or he doesn't care or listen. In our studies ahead, we are going to see that he cares and he's listening. You might come back and say, then why hasn't he answered my prayer? I want to come back to you and say, how do you know if you're praying correctly? Well, because you see, even in prayer, you and I have our agenda. We have our spin. God, I believe. Now look, God, I believe that you should get us into that building as soon as possible because we have a problem with seating. Especially second and third service. People are sitting in the parking lot. In the parking lot with folding chairs. Don't you think? I mean, doesn't it make sense? God, get us in now. That makes sense to me. Apparently, it doesn't make any sense to God. He's got a plan. Well, what is it? I don't know. That's unsatisfactory. I want to know. And that's our problem. Peter's at the door. That's impossible. You see? We begin to pray. He begins to move. We don't like the way he's moving in our prayers. So we, I think, often stop it. Lord, now just hold off right there. I wish you would have cleared that with me before you proceeded on that one. We have a lack of knowledge about prayer, often because we have a lack of need. We think we can handle it on our own. We have a lack of patience when we pray. In Mark chapter 11, verse 24, Jesus says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you will have them. Did you hear that? You say, that can't be in the Bible. It's in the Bible. And that's both the power and the problem, isn't it? Jesus says, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you'll have them. And you say, wow, I don't know if I can believe that. You know why we have that doubt in our mind? You want to know why? It's a true doubt. It's a legitimate doubt. Because we've asked for things before and we didn't get it. And now, because of our selfishness, or our perceptions, or our view of the way prayer ought to go, are you with me, everybody? The answer didn't come about the way that we wanted, so thus we don't believe that verse. And Jesus says, church, pray. And when you pray, pray believing, and it will be done. He's assuming that we are his followers. Herein is the power. And herein lies the problem. Jesus is assuming that we're Christians, that we will follow him. See, we go to prayer and we say, okay, here we go. Are you ready, Jesus? I'm ready. All right. Lord, bless this thing that I'm going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. And Jesus goes, wait a minute, I'm not into that thing. Oh, no, come on, let's go. And we're out there. Come on, Jesus. It's going to be great. And he's going, I can't go that way. He's not in it. And then we crash and fall off the road and we're wondering, Lord, what did you do to me? We made a left turn at 90 miles an hour back there and he fell out. That's what happened. He was not in it. Jesus, when he says this, assumes that the disciple, the Christian, is following him, not he following us. And if we believe this, then I can turn to Mark 11, 24 and say, you know what, that's true. When I yield my will to what he wants and let it go, I resolve all to God. It's done. God, in Jesus' name, you might say, if there's any bit of my agenda left, take it away. And you'll hear him whisper, you know what? That's great. Now that I'm up front and I got the wheel, you may ask what you will and it shall be done. Why? Because he's got the wheel. Young people, what are you going to do with your future? I tell you, step number one, give God the wheel. It's much easier that way. John 15:7. You're going to be hearing a lot about this verse. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done unto you. There you go. Now you're getting a little bit more deeper understanding. If my word abides in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be done. Class, prerequisite, the word abiding in you. Bible study. Praying the Bible. When you pray Bible unto the Lord will act. Why? Because the Bible is God's revealed will. When the scripture says, pray for our presidents and kings and leaders, in 1 Timothy, what does it mean that we shall do? We shall pray for our kings, presidents, and leaders. And he will answer. But we must believe him. Point number one. It's okay. We'll be out of here on time, really. We'll just tell you that next week, point number one is that why should I pray? Is because prayer introduces us to God. We're going to study that next time together. Prayer introduces us to God. Well, why? How? When? Where does this happen? It's my opinion, and it's my strong belief, that as we prepare for what God has in store for us as a church, if we take up this issue of prayer seriously in our lives, everything's going to change. Everything. That's good news. You can close your Bibles, we're done. Listen, change is a good thing. So I don't like change. You know why you don't like change? Because often it's change is brought about because of your life or my life, our decision making. When God implements a change, it's a great thing. Every one of us in this room can agree. When we were in the lead, when we were in control, when we did not pray, the end was futile. We were tired, exhausted. We had no more imagination left. Our creativity was gone. Money's gone. People are gone. But when we've ever yielded to God and did exactly what he told us to do, and we had scripture verse to point to it, are you listening? Not one of us can say it was a waste of time, that it flopped or it was foiled. Not one. We wait on him, God blesses. We pray and we seek his face, and he'll answer. We're going to do something. We're going to stop talking about it. And if you're comfortable enough, maybe we can just begin to start now with just a couple prayer requests. That you might be feel, you know, don't give the great grand details. We don't need to know them. God knows everything. But does anybody have a prayer request this morning? In the red. I can't see you because of the light, but a bad influence upon a daughter's life. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for this young lady. And Lord, we know that your scripture makes it clear that we're to be careful about who we keep company with. So Lord, in Jesus' name, we pray that you would not only, Lord, use this young woman as a witness, that she would know you and that she would be a witness, but Lord, you know this other person's heart. And Father, in Jesus' name, if that's not going to happen, if it's not going to lead this other person to Christ, we pray that you'd separate that relationship in Jesus' name. Over here, there was a hand up a moment. Rex. A son not walking with the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for Rex's son that he would just, even right now, at this hour, this morning, wherever he may be, in whatever time zone, we thank you that right now we can deliver an invisible, overwhelming bomb of prayer. And Lord, that you would open up Rex's son's eyes to see that he needs to get back to Jesus now. And Lord, use whatever means necessary to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Anyone else? Right here in the front. Painful back injury, surgery is being demanded. Father, we pray right now for our sister who has this problem. Lord, wherever she's at, if she's in the hospital bed now, at home, it doesn't matter. We don't need to know. You know. And you know exactly what needs to be done. Father, we pray first of all, believing what your Bible says, that you're a God who heals. We pray that you'd heal her right now. At this very moment, God, that we'd even check our watches, that she would even be able, we'd be able to hear back. You know what? It happened about that moment. Father, that you'd heal her so that you alone would get all the glory. In Jesus' name. Anyone else? Look what's happening. This is my whole strategy for doing this today. Matt. Yeah. Yeah, seriously, truly. Father, we pray for the governor of this state. He's in a huge heap of trouble. And Lord, the poor man, he's just, Lord, he needs you. So Father, in Jesus' name, we don't know what Gray Davis is doing at 9 o'clock. But Lord, right now, may he have a Jesus thought. Lord, invade his mind right now. Overwhelm him. We understand, we've heard that he's quite a control freak of a guy and very much a micromanager kind of a guy. So he knows something about authority and all that. So, Lord, we ask you that you would reveal to him your authority. That, Lord, he's a public servant. And that, Lord, that you would introduce yourself to him in a most overwhelming way. In Jesus' name. One more, right here. Father, for this brother's request of his dad having pneumonia. I don't know his dad, but Lord, first of all, may he know you personally as Lord and Savior. If he doesn't, use this pneumonia to get him to know you. But if he knows you, Lord, bring him comfort, peace. Give him healing and deliverance from this, Father. And Lord, that you would just clear up the lungs and all of that inflammation and all of that junk that's in there and the fever and all the things associated with pneumonia, the headaches, and the pain. And Lord, that you would just heal him now at this moment. And Lord, thank you that this little Sunday morning service took on the personality of exactly what we were talking about. With each request, more and more and more and more hands are going up. Father, you know all of these needs right here, right now. And Lord, we know and we shall study more how you are a God who answers prayer. Father, meet all of these needs. Hear all of these cries. And Lord, especially those who see their request as being absolutely impossible. Lord, release upon them an invisible, overwhelming, explosion of your power, of your presence, of your word, of your will to bring about a change, a healing regarding finances, decision making, illness, our children at war soon in the Gulf or in North Korea, our forces in Colombia. We pray, Father, for your hand, and it's only your hand that can stop the terrorism that is programmed against this nation, against our own area. Rather than worry, let us worship. Rather than panic, dear God, let us pray. And Father, may we be a church who is no stranger to prayer. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen.